Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Today's business travelers are finding that fitting in a little leisure time keeps them recharged and excited on work trips. I know this because whenever I travel for work, I always try and meet up with a friend to catch up, have a great dinner, or hit a museum wherever I am. So if you're traveling for work, go with the card that puts the travel in business travel, the Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Hey, everyone, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? Well, it starts with your company culture. Your company's identity and operations depend on the culture you create. Fortunately, there's Insperity, a leading HR provider. Their specialists show you how to build a culture aligned with your business goals, driving success. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com for ways to create a culture that fuels growth. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Hello and welcome to How I Built This Lab. I'm Guy Raz. This is the place where we break format and experiment with ideas and stories that you might not hear on our Monday episode, and also a chance to find out what happened to some of the founders I've interviewed on the show in the past. So back in June of 2020, I had Payal Kadakia on the show, and you can go check that out in our podcast queue. Payal co-founded the fitness brand ClassPass. It's basically like Expedia or Kayak, but for fitness classes. In January of 2020, ClassPass raised a round of financing at a $1 billion valuation. And for Payal, it was an incredible validation of a business that had its ups and downs. In its early days, ClassPass was a way you could sign up for all kinds of classes, photography, cooking, singing, you name it. But over time, it became a really powerful force in the fitness industry. All seemed to be going well until, of course, March of 2020, when the pandemic all but shut down fitness centers across the U.S. and around the world. When Payal was last on the show, she was dealing with layoffs and even uncertainty over whether ClassPass would make it. But late in 2021, ClassPass was acquired by a company called Mindbody for an undisclosed amount. Now, Payal's just released a book about how she learned to become a leader and live a life of purpose. It's called LifePass, Drop Your Limits and Rise to Your Potential. And Payal is here to talk more about it. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Guy.
All right, let's pick up where we left off in June of 2020. At the time, as we all remember, gyms and studios across the U.S. were closed, actually across the world. And I think around that time, ClassPass had to lay off, you know, almost half of its employees. And I remember on the show at the time, you were so generous because it was a difficult time and you were very open about what was going on. I remember you said, we're going to have to go backwards before we go forwards. So tell me about the rest of that year, the rest of 2020, and how you managed.
One of the hardest things about the last 2 years was the uncertainty and the sense of things are going to open back up and rebuilding marketing strategies to get our customers back into class and then all of a sudden having another wave, right? I think that was the hardest part of this journey because, look, we as a company, I think, had always been resilient and had always been able to change, right? And even at the top of the pandemic, we flipped over to video and live workouts. And it was something that, you know, we knew as a company, we had to keep people moving and we had to keep revenue moving to our studio partners. But the longevity of this was one of the hardest things. But, you know, it's interesting because I don't now think about it as going backwards, because I think what we actually did was really worked on making sure that the efficiency, the cost structure of our company was honestly at a place where it should be. And I think you probably know this from all the people you've talked to. When you're a high growth startup, you just go, right? At all costs, you just move. And it was actually a nice place to be able to reassess things, to be able to create efficiencies, to, you know, decide if we really needed, you know, X, Y, and Z product on there or not, right? And we never really got a second to have that breath. So of course, this uncertainty was the hardest part, because every single time we wanted to, like I said, you know, get everyone back onto the program and get relaunch all the memberships, we would all of a sudden be faced with, wait, we need to go backwards again, and we need to take everyone back. But in the midst of all that, I will say that I think the company definitely found positive ways to move forward. And that was, you know, obviously less in terms of impact and purpose, which is what is always most important to me, but more in terms of operational efficiency and the bottom line.
You guys, I remember you were saying that you were kind of back in startup mode, which was kind of exciting. You said, you know, you were trying all kinds of things. You were thinking about maybe cooking classes or offering comedy classes. And you told me you were kind of throwing things at the wall to see what might work. What were some of the things that you guys tried?
Yeah, we had different, you know, live experiences we were trying. So, you know, we saw people like wanted to do magic at home and different experiences that people were still doing, but they were finding ways to bring them to, you know, their homes, right? Obviously with a small group of people. And so we started looking at that. We just saw that it wasn't exactly as scalable. We had obviously done a lot of video innovation and testing, which, you know, stayed on the platform. And then the other one, which actually did stick, which was something a part of something we had actually tried right before the pandemic, was we went into beauty and wellness. And that actually ended up sticking, because what we realized is people were more comfortable with more of that one-on-one experience versus the group experience, which comes more in beauty and wellness. So we actually saw that take off more than we thought. And we did end up investing a bit more in the wellness category of our business.
What did you learn about yourself as a leader during that time?
You know, this was also, you know, there was a lot of conversations going on about representation, diversity, all of that, right? So I think there was just so much emotion going on. And I remember going to, you know, some team meetings, and I've always really been a pretty emotional human being. You know, I talk about that a little bit too in my book, but I like to lead with a sense of heart and empathy. And I knew that everyone needed it. And I remember there was this one session, I think we were talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. And I think I almost cried. Like, I literally had tears in my eyes. And I remember afterwards thinking about that vulnerability. And I think that's really what people needed, because we were all human going through such a tough time. And to remind everyone that this is everyone who needs to get through this, including, you know, even me as a new mom who had a 3-month-old, there was real fears in the world, right? I mean, people were losing people. Like, it was not an easy time, right? And we knew that, of course, the business mattered, but the lives of our team and actual humans in the world mattered the most during that time.
I remember there was a moment where I said, you know, are you scared? Are you worried that you might not make it through? And you said, you know, ClassPass, I've been at this for 8 years at that point, and you said, you know, we've been through so many ups and downs, so many crisis points that I'm almost ready for this, you know. And I was impressed when you said that, because it was a crisis moment. But did you really feel that, or was there a part of you that was kind of freaking out?
I just knew that we were going to figure out a plan. You know, I think with the people that were a part of my team, right, the investors I had, I just knew that there was going to be another side of this. And here's the one thing I've really fundamentally always believed, is the platform we built at ClassPass was here to stay, right? We had changed human behavior. And I knew this, right? I think I may have spoken about this before, but when I went out to Singapore and I saw people working out, right, or going out to Hong Kong or Australia, and I realized that we had built a product that wasn't about you know, one demographic or wasn't a trend. It was literally about changing human behavior.
Yeah.
Platforms like that last, right? So I knew that this was a matter of navigating this time. It wasn't something that was going to destroy the human behavior. And I think that's what I fundamentally knew and believed from, you know, the second we caught magic in a bottle, right, in 2013 with this product. And I honestly think as a founder and yes, and all the things I'd been through so many ups and downs. At some point, they start to get a little bit more mild. Of course, this one was a little bit more of a tall mountain we had to climb. But yeah. I do believe, and you know, I think it's important for all of us to realize that is the true north of the company didn't change. We just got a massive tree that fell in front of us and we needed to navigate our way through it. It was going to create a delay in a lot of our plans, which it of course did for us and so many companies. But there was another side to this. And I think that's really what I believed. And, you know, and we're still here.
You're listening to How I Built This Lab. Stay with us. We're going to be right back in just a moment with more from Paul Kadakia. Here on our show, we bring you tales of the long, sometimes really hard road to building a successful company. Of course, no two entrepreneurs' journeys are exactly the same, but themes do emerge. One, there's no way they can do it alone. Another is how incredibly important it is for companies to keep their teams connected, no matter where they are in the world. Our sponsor, Atlassian, knows this better than anyone. Their team has spent over 20 years creating software like Jira and Confluence to make collaboration of any size and across any distance possible, because Atlassian believes the best ideas are impossible alone. And look, there will always be challenges with distributed work. Our team here at How I Built This might not be huge. We do a lot with a small group of hardworking people, but we really understand the importance of staying organized and having visibility across the team, especially when we're all working remotely. Having the right collaboration products can make all the difference when you need to move quickly, work efficiently, and make informed decisions. With their evidence-based approach, Atlassian has redefined collaboration for teams scattered across the globe. And if you're looking for solutions for your team, Atlassian's suite of software is the foundation to help make the way you work that much more seamless. No matter where you are, your team can plan meticulously with Jira and create a knowledge base with Confluence, turning ideas into action and brainstorming into breakthroughs. A world where distributed teams sync effortlessly, where the touch of innovation streamlines every project, that's not a dream. It's a reality with Atlassian. Whether your team is spread across the country or even the globe, delivering greatness is impossible alone. Learn more at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian. As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long, and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allow you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools built specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. I've talked to hundreds of founders and business leaders every day on this show, and I've learned that LinkedIn has been vital to the growth of their companies. It helps them build relationships with customers and get direct access to thousands of decision makers. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/builtthis to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/builtthis. Terms and conditions apply. In U.S. working forests, more than 1 billion trees are planted every year, and forestry experts protect and manage hundreds of millions of acres. Working forests have been sustainably managed for decades. How? It's simple. They plant more trees than they harvest. Learn more at workingforestsinitiative.com. Hey, welcome back. We are with Paul Kadakia, and you're listening to How I Built This Lab. So Pyle, you made it through 2020, and by the end of 2021, ClassPass was acquired by a company named Mindbody. I'm assuming that was the best decision for the long-term health of the company.
Yeah, and you know, I love talking about the relationship of Mindbody and ClassPass because I met the founder of Mindbody when I was a five-person team at Techstars in 2012.
Wow, this is Rick Stolmeyer, right?
Yes, Rick. And actually, it's a really interesting story. So Classtivity, which is what we were called originally, we got into this Techstars program, and we ended up on the cover of Inc. magazine back in 2012 before we had launched a product. And Jill, who is Rick's wife, who was also working at Mindbody, saw us on the cover, and you know, they lived in San Luis Obispo, and they decided that they were coming to New York, and she said, we should go meet with this team. So this is 2012. I haven't even launched anything at this time.
Wow.
And we had dinner with Rick, Jill, and our team. And during that conversation, I mean, Rick and I 100% connected. I mean, I was obviously in, you know, my late 20s at the time. I was, you know, just this idea-oriented founder, and I just had a dream and I wanted to do it. And he said, you know, go and build this and maybe we'll work together one day. And he knew that we were actually building the Classtivity platform based on the API that Mindbody had. So we had worked very closely with Mindbody from day one.
And Mindbody, and just to kind of give us a sense of what they do.
Yeah, so they are the backend SaaS platform that many of our studios use. So they do the reservation systems. They help with a lot of, you know, payments for their employees and teachers. So it's very much a backend system that many of the studios would use. Right. And now what that gave us was, as you can probably think, all the class information that we have is constantly changing, right? The reservation numbers, the inventory numbers. What Mindbody helped us to do from day one was have all that information, right? So we didn't have to scrape that information or overbook classes. We were tied right into the inventory and reservation platforms of many of the studios we would work with, right? So Mindbody had been at it for, I think, since 1980. Like, they were around for a very long time. And this actually, you know, when I was starting the business, a lot of people told me I had to start with the technology first and not go in through the consumer side, right? Because if you look at OpenTable, if you looked at ZocDoc, a lot of them were approaching this through first go and sell a SaaS platform into the various partners, and then you build the consumer end on top.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that. And I remember a lot of advisors saying to me, wait, we've never seen that. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go build a consumer platform. I'm going to figure it out. And luckily enough, we stumbled upon this Mindbody API and ended up, you know, forming a way to kind of have the same type of infrastructure behind ClassPass. So if you can imagine, if this was really the basis to the foundation of our partnership back in 2012, it only grew, right? As ClassPass got bigger and, you know, more studios obviously were working with them as we launched literally across the globe. It was one of those things when we would launch a city, we would, you know, make sure that a lot of studios that we were working with were on Mindbody because it made it literally a click of a button for us to go and partner with a studio versus having to go in and manually get their information and build out inventory tools and all of that. And over time, we did, you know, expand on our own ability to do that because not everyone could afford Mindbody at the time because they obviously were more of a premium product in this space. But, you know, we knew that they were working with the top studios that a lot that we were working with. So over time, we just built a really great relationship. And, you know, I think every year it was a conversation that I think would probably come up on both sides. And so I do believe it was a matter of when, not if, these two companies would come together. And I think given everything that the industry had gone through the pandemic, we kind of knew that this was the right time to join forces, not just for ourselves, but honestly, so we could put our great skills that we've, you know, both have towards helping the industry on the other side of this, which we knew it needed.
It really reminds me a lot of the story of PayPal. PayPal was initially grew organically through eBay users, right? They were, they loved it. And over time, eBay realized that this was a really important asset for their users, and they acquired PayPal because it made sense. I mean, and that began as a business relationship, which grew into a much bigger relationship. And so, it's one of those stories where you never know, right? Like
exactly.
You take the opportunity to meet somebody 10 years ago, and you never know what's going to come of it.
I completely agree. I think that's why, you know, whenever you, especially as a founder, you're starting a company, you know, these relationships, especially the ones that are partnerships, right? You just never know when it can come together. And on the opposite of that, I would also say, don't start a company thinking it's going to be acquired by this company or that company, right? I think a lot of times people box themselves into that. That's the opposite of this, is we were always knew we were close together, but we were never like, that's the only option we have. And I think that's also important.
Pau, I know it's still early since the acquisition, so I hope this doesn't sound like I'm being a nudge here, but you're so young. I mean, you've built one successful company. Do you have another one in you, do you think?
This is such a great question. I actually talk about this at the in the afterword of my book, how someone 5 years ago asked me this question, which stuck with me. He said, how does it feel that you'll never build anything as big as ClassFest in your life again? And think about that for a second, right? Just as a founder, and I was probably, like you said, I was in my early 30s, and it really stuck with me. And I think when, you know, we went through this acquisition, and it's obviously such a bittersweet moment, I remember having to really think about, what does that mean when someone says big?
Yeah. And
I was never chasing big. I was chasing impact, right? And it was an interesting conversation I had to really have with myself. Do I have more impact in me? 100%. That is not a question for me. Will it be a company? Will it be something in the arts? Will it be something else? I don't know, but all I do know that I will continue to move forward and live out my purpose.
I mean, as anyone who heard your original episode of the podcast, your dream was to become a professional dancer. I mean, to build and you built a dance troupe.
Absolutely. Yes, I did. Saw Dance Company. That was my first company.
So maybe there's a new opportunity for dance schools.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually working on an Indian ballet that is going to hopefully tour as the pandemic recedes. And I honestly, for me, 10 years ago, when I started on this journey, I chased what was making me passionate, right? And that's what led me here. And I, in a way, know that that's what's going to happen here, even though there is a path for founders, right? After they exit, which is sometimes start a new company, become an investor. I'm trying really hard to really make sure I give myself the space to welcome what that next problem I want to solve is, because that's really what started all of this, is a problem I wanted to solve. It wasn't me going, oh, I'm going to be a founder of a tech company or that. It was literally me thinking about what impact do I want to have in the world?
Yeah. I should mention for people who don't know your story is that you weren't and aren't just a dancer. You were like a world-class champion dancer, like Ted Turner. I don't know if a lot of people don't know this. Ted Turner, who started CNN, won the America's Cup in the 70s. Like, he was one of the greatest sailors in the world, right? And that was like his other thing that he did.
Right.
And I thought of you when I read about Ted Turner, because this was like, you could have become a professional dancer. Like,
yeah.
That was a potential, but like possibility.
I mean, you know, there are still challenges in the space I'm in. So I'm an, you know, Indian classical and folk trained dancer. There are no platforms for Indian dance really at the professional level still. So yes, of course, that has always been on my mind.
Right.
And something that honestly, when I started Saw Dance Company in 2008, that was really what I wanted to do, is build something like Alvin Ailey, right? That was about culture and arts together to help elevate the beauty and, you know, the understanding of where I had come from. So yes, like while at the end of the day, I know my company is great, it's hard because we haven't had a chance to be at the professional level. But, you know, we've recently made some amazing, had some amazing wins. And I am really excited because I do think, especially with all the conversation of representation that's been going on, I do think that a lot of that is changing and people are much more welcome to it. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, positive things that have happened. But yeah, the company has been a very big part of my life and journey. And I'm excited about the future of SA for sure.
Awesome. All right. So, Kyle, you have this new book out. It's called Life Pass. And I love how you do this. You frame it with a bunch of questions that we're meant to ask ourselves, like what drives you or what makes you stand out or whose life are you living, which I love that question. Tell me about what you wanted to say in this book.
So for me, I always felt that people always ask me, how did I do this? Which obviously people can just listen to your podcast to get that. But honestly, I think especially for me being a woman of color, an Indian woman, right? I really knew I lived by a different set of rules and methodologies, and I knew I had to give that to other people. It honestly felt like a responsibility for me to do this. You know, the people close to me knew I operated by a different way of life and a different set of rules. And that's how I always got things done. And at the end of the day, it wasn't just about accomplishment. It was about fulfillment, right? It was about always creating stuff that truly felt impactful and helpful to people. And I wanted to help other people do the same. And of course, you know, throughout my life, I've been around type A friends who obviously have everything together, but they are looking for purpose, which is why I start the whole book with a sense of what is your calling? What is your purpose? And then I have other friends who I know are deeply purposeful, but they need the rules and the tips of how to get things done. And I really wanted to bring both of them together because I think usually the business books are for one group of people, right? And then the, you know, more purposeful books are for another set of people. And I wanted to create something that was more in the middle that was going to help create the bridge for the two communities.
When you thought about who this book is for, did you think about it for somebody like you when you were starting out? Or do you think about it for somebody who is trying to figure out their direction or somebody maybe further along their journey or all of those people?
You know, at first I thought about it as somebody more in their like 20s, the same way, you know, I'd come out of college and figuring out the world.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, in my own journey, honestly, in the past 2 years, right? Being at a place where I've gone through a career transition, I had a baby, COVID happened. I remember actually going back to my book and realizing that these tools and tips are actually muscles you have to develop to be able to say, what is my true north? How am I going to work through the different constraints that the world puts on me, whether that is society's expectations, which especially, by the way, for a woman will always be there, right? At every different phase in your life, it's you need to have a muscle to work through that. The fear of failure, which comes at any point in our lives, right? And then there's always real constraints in our lives of time and money and people, which I talk about each one of those in the book. And I realized that this is about a roadmap for anyone at any phase in our lives to, you know, you might have your purpose, but you might need to work through a constraint. And once again, you might be at a place where you're searching for that purpose and go ahead, find it. And then don't let anything stand in your way to get there to the ultimate place where you want to.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Paula Kadakia. You're listening to How I Built This Lab. You only get one chance to go public, and the stakes are high. Deloitte's free IPO readiness tool will help you grade your current state of readiness. Less than 10% of companies using Deloitte's free tool discover they're ready for an IPO. While the IPO market can be unpredictable, your company's readiness plan doesn't have to be. Don't miss your IPO window. Being ready starts with getting ready. With Deloitte's free and easy-to-use IPO self-assess tool, you can gauge your IPO readiness and receive tailored insights on 9 areas of focus in less than 30 minutes. Visit Deloitte.com/US/HIBT and launch your IPO journey today. Audible is the home of storytelling, and it lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. In fact, I've been really into thrillers and true crime lately, and I just got back from a long car trip where I was listening to the latest zombie Fallout book, Bridging the Gap. And I swear, I had to keep checking the back seat for any glowing eyes as I drove home on that deserted highway. In fact, on so many of my journeys, Audible is there for me with comedy, bestsellers, history, exclusive originals, and more. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/built or text built to 500-500. That's audible.com/built or text built to 500-500. Hey, welcome back. All right, so the book describes, ultimately, it lands on this goal-setting method that you've used and created.
Yep.
For both your professional and personal goals. Can you describe how it works?
Yep. So I'll also give you the background a little bit on how I came up with it, because for me, and this was right when ClassPass took off, so we're talking about, you know, end of 2013, it's the holidays, and I felt that my personal life was in shambles. My health was bad. I just felt like, you know, most of the things in my relationships, my friendships, they just weren't in the place that I wanted to. And look, I never believed in the word balance, and I don't think you can have it, but I knew I needed a system that the same way I was able to accomplish every dream I had professionally, I didn't understand why I didn't have that system personally. And on the flip side, I think for other people, they can do everything in their personal life, but they need help professionally. So it works really both ways. And the way I start the method, and in the way, you know, for me, it really has always started with everything I've done, is reflecting. So the first step is to really think back on the last year of your life and think about the words that have been top of mind for it. And so this is anchoring you in what your thoughts are, what your emotions are, where are you starting from? Because we can't figure out where we're going to go unless we really take a second to check in on where we've been. So the first step is all about getting in touch with that, and you're having your reflect words. The second step is doing the same thing, but in the future. So thinking about a year from now, what words do you want to say really symbolized this coming year? So we're not setting annual resolutions, we're setting dream words, right? Words that we want to embody for the coming year. And these are just ways to anchor you, right? Because so much of the time we want to write down, like, I'm going to buy a new house, I'm going to run a marathon. And we forget to think about what happiness feels like to us. And by the way, I have been doing this for 7 years, and every year those dream words for me are different because we change, right? We learn from where we've been, and we want different things, and we never really give ourselves a way to aim for something. So that's step one and step two. Step three is all about focusing. So once again, I don't believe you can make impact in every area of your life. And I also don't really believe in annual resolutions. So the focus period of what I do is always a quarterly system. So you set 3 to 5 areas of your life that you end up choosing to focus on for only the next 3 months, right? So this is something actually a lot of companies do, right? We have OKRs. And it is something that we don't do in our personal lives, right? We always say we have annual resolutions that no one does.
Right,
but three months is actually a really great way to make progress on something and then also not get stuck for an entire year. So that's really step three. And then step four is actually when we goal set. So really what I do in the first three steps is set you up to goal set right, because usually we goal set without thinking about the first three steps, which are honestly the most important anchors to being able to set goals that you're going to be motivated to do, that you feel, you know, that you feel that are aligned to where you really want to go, and that you honestly have chosen, right? Versus feeling like it's some to-do list that someone gave to you or is based on society's expectations. And that's usually where goals go wrong.
You know, we're in this moment now where lots of people have been leaving their jobs.
Right.
And choosing to take time off and then maybe try something new. For somebody who is thinking about wanting to make a change but still a little nervous, how would you advise them? How should they be thinking about the LifePass method with respect to, like, to their own journey and whether to take that leap?
Right. So, you know, let's assume that they went through steps 1 through 3 and, you know, we're on a goal setting part to wanting to explore and try new things. Because honestly, I do think it's trying new things. And for those of you who remember, like for me even, to start ClassPass, it took me to travel to San Francisco to really come up with the idea. And honestly, I was not somebody at that time in my life who traveled out because I wanted to work and dance and I didn't have money to spend on anything else and I didn't have time. But I did. I went into this new thing and it obviously changed the course of my life by meeting entrepreneurs. So, you know, I think it's so important to make a list of what new environments could you be in, right? You know, are there different friends you want to see? Are there some new classes you want to sign up for? And it's, you know, I think with trying classes, everyone always gets really stuck with, you don't need to be an expert by the end of the 3 months. It's literally, maybe you go to 3 classes or even 1, right? That's still progress than letting a whole year go by and saying, I wanted to try tennis and never going at all, right? So I really encourage just setting up a plan to say, I'm going to try a new class or a new activity that really might interest you. And then I think one of the last parts of this is actually clearing the noise. We forget that So much of our life is being led by a lot of shoulds for people instead of our musts.
Yeah.
And that is honestly the biggest trapping, where we never even get to hear what that purpose and calling is. So we kind of get stuck in, even you could be trying new things, you could be doing all these things, but if you're not willing to listen to what that purpose is, and that's, I really believe it's already inside you, right? I think I was destined to build Class S and knew that when I was probably 3 years old and I started dancing, right? It was one of those things for me that was so a part of who I was and my being. And usually our purpose and calling is very tied to that. So you should honestly schedule the time, whether you have to journal, you need to meditate, you need the silence. It also counterbalances the trying new things and the exploring.
You talk a lot about the importance of identity.
Yes.
In the book. At one point you write, after splitting my identity for so long, I never wanted to be boxed in again. I'm a dancer and I'm a business person. I'm short and I'm powerful. I'm Indian and I'm American, and so on. How did splitting your identity keep you from fulfilling your potential or being your sort of authentic self?
I mean, when you split yourself up, you're never your full self, right? You are a version of you and only a small part. And I remember, especially when I was younger, I mean, there was the Indian girl who would go to these festivals. And, you know, I was obviously a dancer and I loved my culture. And then I would run home and I was a cheerleader in my school. And it was just a total different identity. I mean, I was living two lives. And this happened to me again in my life when, you know, I was at Warner Music Group sitting there at my desk. And here I was in the evenings and the weekends living this artist life, and I was a great performer with huge accolades. And then I would go back and be, you know, an analyst at my desk crunching numbers during the day. And I think I knew that in any one of those settings, I wasn't giving myself the full chance to really shine and to really go after my dreams. And I think it really took me to that point to rip that Band-Aid, to be at a point where all the different parts of me, even the parts I may have been hiding in one area or another, were all the parts that built ClassPass, right? It was the dancer. It was the business person. It was the Indian American girl who had, you know, had different experiences, really, of different types of people that brought me together to really build and solve this problem. And I think it's so important that we realize that, is that when we actually are our full selves, we can live our purpose truly. We can go and tackle something with clarity of mind instead of questioning who we are.
That's Payal Kadakia, founder of ClassPass and author of the new book, LifePass. Payal, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me again, Guy.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to How I Built This Lab. Please do follow us on your podcast app so you always have the latest episode downloaded. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our account is at How I Built This, and mine is at Guy Raz. And on Instagram, I'm at guy.raz. If you want to contact the team, our email address is hibt@id.wondery.com. This episode was produced by Chris Messini, with editing by John Isabella. Our audio engineer was Neil Rauch. Our music was composed by Ramtin Arablouei. Our production team at How I Built This includes Alex Chung, Carla Estevez, Casey Herman, JC Howard, Liz Metzger, Sam Paulson, Carrie Thompson, Catherine Seifer, Josh Lash, and Elaine Coates. Neva Grant is our supervising editor. Beth Donovan is our executive producer. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to How I Built This. If you like How I Built This, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.